I still don't know why I did that video, but you know what's funny is I had made a post on our girl's birthday, November 30th. I was like, you know, I realized the last few years I've woken up and I'll go up to the garage and I'll work on cars or go-karts for a week straight at like 4 or 5 in the morning, not even thinking as to why I'm out there. And then a few days before her birthday rolls around, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's her birthday. And I'd like to think that that's our thing. Like, she's out there hanging out with me. I pull my little stool out, and that's her little spot. And then I just pretend I act like I know what I'm doing, working on go-karts. Then I woke up at 5 in the morning on the 20th, almost on the nose, and woke up in tears. And I was like, ooh, something's hitting me. And so I argued with myself, like, I'm not getting out of bed. It's cold. I don't want to go out there. I don't need to go outside. I don't need to wake up. I got nothing to do today. And then I woke up and I got out of bed and I verbalized. I was like, okay, I'm up. I'm getting up. Like, I was talking to like a 9-year-old girl who was begging me to get out of bed. And then I go downstairs and I was like, I'm going to hang out here and watch TV, watch some car shows. I was like, I'm not going out to the garage. I'm not doing it. And 15 minutes later, okay, I'm going out to the garage. And then I go out there, I plop the phone up on the workbench and said what I said and sent it off.
Oh, yeah.
But that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know, because it hit me and several others like a ton of bricks, too.
Oh.
That's the power of honesty, right?
Yeah.
My left brain friend, Alex Nelson, is making a right brain speech alone in his garage.
Yeah.
I'm like, my boy Alex, just like most human beings, wakes up in the dark negative nature of his right brain. Mm-hmm. And before he gets going, he's in his garage thinking about those emotions.
Yep. For all those that have been listening so far, we got Dr. Griswold back on. And hello. He's the man on campus that runs Shed Light Cold Lasers. And Shed Light's the lasers that we use in office. And in my hand here, I got that new Revy on the market. And our Shed Light lasers, let's see, we're up to 4 of them, including the Revy. And they get abused. They get used. That is for sure. And as Dr. Griswold is going to go over more, these are just a workhorse in our office. They are so capable. We can use these on anyone and practically everything. And the results really do speak for themselves. So without further ado, sir, it has been quite some time, and you are, I thought I was busy. Now you're taking on duties of your wife's new business and trying to run yours and a clinic.
You mentioned go-karts earlier. I just sent a bunch of techs out to work on golf carts. We're going to take on a whole new field, open up a whole new market. We got hired from the Federal Treasury here in Fort Worth, and they have a bunch of golf carts. That's my next, you know, when you started working on go-karts, you didn't know anything about go-karts, right?
No.
Exactly. No. Right. We'll figure it out. It's just another patient, isn't it? How's it running? What are the symptoms?
Basically.
What needs to be changed?
Right? Yeah. Basically. That's probably the best way to put it.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Nelson.
Oh, it's long overdue. That's what it is.
So we came up with this idea to talk about clinical pearls. Now I pass that on to you because there is such a void of companies or practitioners who are willing to take the time to educate the purchaser on how to use the laser, right? We can never teach somebody how to be a doctor or a layperson who hasn't, well, let's just say somebody who hasn't studied what we study, right? Mm-hmm. On how to diagnose a patient, but we could help them to understand how to use that tool to help the patient or their family or their friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with a list of clinical pearls. Some of these pearls I go through in a ramp up or an onboarding whenever anybody purchases a laser. You know as well as I do, when one of your patients purchases a laser, Alex, I can never be their doctor, but I can get them on the same plane or close to your plane in communication style, so you could transfer your knowledge to them when you write them a protocol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot is lost in translation that way.
Yeah.
So for both doctors and the non-doctor population, I wrote these clinical pearls. And what you don't know, and I'm kind of throwing it at you, there is a, having been around for a little while longer than you, right, been on this planet, and having the opportunity to rub elbows with thousands of doctors globally, and I personally talk to a nice handful of these docs. I have a list of top five docs in the world. Actually, my wife has it as well, because she knows that if something happens to me, the joke is if I wind up in the hospital and I come awake, I'm going to grab the clipboard. I'm going to wink at her and she's going to bust me out of there. And she's going to take me to one of these five docs.
Nice.
Dr. Alex Nelson, you're on that list. Thank you for having me.
That is most humbling. That it really is. It really is. That means a lot.
Well, you mean a lot. Thank you very much.
No, so, thanks for sponsoring the show.
Our pleasure. So I say that to say this, that these clinical pearls are going to be the backbone of a book that will be written one day. And underneath these clinical pearls, and I want to hear some of yours today as well, will be stories. It won't be a protocol book. We'll talk about that. It will be a suggestion book. What was Dr. Alex thinking? What was Dr. Damien thinking? What was Dr. Mike Longyear thinking? These clinical pearls will be the backbone of a photobiomodulation book. And I think rather than writing the protocols, the stories behind the success stories would be pretty powerful, don't you think?
Yeah. More like case studies.
Absolutely. I like it. Yeah. Will you accept my invitation to that, Alex?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Things you think about as you get older, it's time for the book. You know about that, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
you have your book.
Do I have a book?
Yeah, you have a book, don't you?
I do not, but I did state that this is my book.
Oh, that is very true. I hear that once a month.
Yeah. Yeah. The podcast is the book.
I remember our conversation when you first started this, and that was absolutely the theme and what you say every month.
Yep. Now my lovely wife, yet very sarcastic. That always has to get noted. Lovely sarcastic wife. She has an idea for a book, and I'll have to tell you off air because it's brilliant. It's going to take some work, but she's got a great idea for a book. So if anyone's putting a book out next, it's going to be her, actually.
Ambitious Lauren. Let's get into it. Give me a clinical pearl.
Okay. So the first thing that came to mind, so you sent off, man, you sent off quite a bit here. I guess a bit of a recap is with these lasers, we're adding voltage to the body, right? We're nothing but bags of water and electricity is kind of what I tell patients.
Sure.
And energy in the body is going to go from high to low, or high pressure to low pressure. That's where, for instance, when you have air in a system or whatever it is, you have to go from high to low pressure. So we go from high to low energy is where these photons are going to travel. Because when we shine this guy on someone, whether we're using red light or if we're going to be using our ultraviolet light, we're shining photons on the body. Those photons are going to turn into electrons or run into electrons, and that kickstarts a few very well-known healing processes in the mitochondria and in the cell in general. And when that happens, like right now, shining this, because we use it on the brain more than anything, like right now, I am creating what's called a cellular immediate early gene response, or the Geiger response. And we're immediately laying down new proteins with our DNA to form new connections and even new neurons. Well, I mean, we can say that these lasers help form new neurons in the brain. And one thing that I like to use this for is I'll run, let's say, muscle testing, or I'll do some check, some vital checks. Like I'll look at pulse, I'll look at heart rate, I'll look at pulse oxygenation, look at someone's pupillary light response, and then I'll laser, and then I'll check that again. And if those improve, then I know that that is the area of the brain or the body that is involved, and that's what I'm going to be working on. So probably one of the biggest things is when kids come in to the office, or when patients come in, and we've all had them where they say, this kid's been doing this therapy, and they've been to this specialist, and they've been to John Hopkins, and they've been to CHOP, and they've been all over the place. No one knows what's going on. No one knows what's going on in the brain. They might even go over to Amen clinics where they're getting their SPECT scans done. And yet we can't make any headway. We know what areas of the brain are involved, but we don't know even maybe how to tap into them. But let's just say we don't have any scans even telling us. What I'll do is I'll shine that on the brain. And if I have those changes occur, then I know what area I'm going to work on. Or if I do some muscle testing and I have positive changes that occur, then I'm going to, then I know that when I use that laser, I'm going to put it on that area of the brain, call it the prefrontal cortex, and I'm going to shine it on that specific spot to make that change. And that's probably one of the biggest clinical pearls I can think of as it applies to anyone that wants to use these lasers, I guess, specifically on the brain. We can talk more about shining on the body. But then as clinicians, if they want to figure out what area they got to work on, you want to run vitals, and you want to have anything that you can measure in terms of heart rate variability, pulse oxygenation, heart rate, muscle testing, then go and laser. And then if it improves, you know that that's the direction you have to go. First big long-winded answer.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was just sitting here thinking about school, us going through school and learning things and boiling things down, right?
Mm-hmm.
How we all follow so many goldfish or so many fishes when it comes to determining outcome measures or income measures, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, when you boil down what you and I learned and what a lot of doctors learn on the planet, is we learn to locate interference and remove it.
Getting adjusted.
Find deficit and fill it.
Yep.
Determine weakness and then strengthen it.
Yeah.
And those are our diagnostic virtues. So which falls into kind of a woo-woo clinical pearl that I wrote. And that is, that laser is an extension of your intention. Not long ago, I saw some research, or I saw some video about how they have proven that if you're witnessing electrons at the same time I am, well, they dance differently. Our intention, as we observe these electrons, matters. And you mentioned we're just big electrical balloons.
Yeah.
Biophotons, electrons flowing around our body. You and I use tools like the nervous system, right?
Mm-hmm.
We use tools like the meridian system, the sister to the nervous system. These are electrical highways all around the body. When we determine that there is a break in one of those highways, or a barrier, or a lack of voltage, you mentioned, I always like to think about it as a bright light bulb going dim.
Mm-hmm.
We quite simply use our tool to brighten that light bulb, create the Warburg effect. The Warburg effect. Bring blood and oxygen to the area, which increases the electricity and allows for healing. ATP, right? Energy?
Yeah.
Was that too much? Did I overanswer that?
Nope. No, it's not too much because, if you're wondering, if people are going to follow this, absolutely. People are smart. There are I know our patients that come in, they know more. It surprises me how much they know. So no, that is not too much. People can follow this. If anything, it's all the people with Durr in front of their name that's going to have a hard time following this because it's almost, it's almost too simple. I mean, these tools are so versatile, at least our shed light lasers, because of, the class of the laser, the being a 3B and then having the power level that it has and then how it's classified with the FDA being nonspecific, it allows us to use it in such a broad swath of settings. And it's almost too simple for people like our really educated people that come in, our high functioning Asperger's, our parents who are Asperger's and they have a child with autism. It's almost, they're almost disappointed because it's almost too simple to grasp and they can't wrap their head around. We're adding voltage and here's a couple other tidbits and this is what it does. And if you want to know the nitty gritty, then you can join along in the ranks and read all the books, but otherwise here it is.
Absolutely. I was reminded Dr. Otto Warburg. It's been a long time since I read about him. But what I remember is in 1938, he won a Nobel Prize for proving that disease, specifically cancer, cannot thrive in an oxygenated environment. Another way to say voltage is bringing blood and oxygen to an area. Mm-hmm. Another way to say it is turning an acidic area into a more alkaline healing arena, right? Yep. All of these mean voltage. Another reminder is, and I believe this book should be in the survival kit of every human being on the planet, Dr. Jerry Tennant, Jerry with a J, Tennant with a T, T-E-N-N-A-N-T. He's a medical doctor. He's an ophthalmologist. He's here in Dallas. He was my doctor at one time. I didn't really need Jerry, but I had to meet him. Because I started studying him. And how do we learn? We study great doctors. He wrote a book. It's called Healing is Voltage. And now these books have been written before. Jerry put a lot of time in and was meticulous in sharing information with the reader. Healing is Voltage by Dr. Jerry Tennant. Voltage is a theme, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. When I was there, now Jerry's deal was electrons. Microcurrents, amongst many other things. He had hyperbaric oxygen chambers, raising the voltage, right?
Yep.
And he came up with a protocol for me. We spent some time together. He talks a lot about how dental caries and relate to what happens in the body. Not the sole reason, but we call the teeth the fuse boxes for the meridian systems. We'll tell some stories later about that, right? So he wanted me to buy his tool, which was electrons. And then I showed him that I had a laser, photons. And he just smiled. He smiled knowingly and left me alone as a salesperson. Hi, Jerry. No, Damien's good. Damien's good. Dr. Jerry Tennant, he's a legend. He must be 85 years old now. But he's still touring.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That just makes me think I'm slacking in life. If there's an 85-year-old who's probably, is he still practicing and he's out lecturing and teaching?
He's lecturing now. He sold his clinic. See his big turnaround, his big catalyst was he was adamantly allopathic. And then he went through a viral storm. that left him bedridden for 7 years. And he'd had moments and glimpses of reality out of his fog, maybe an hour a day. Mm-hmm. And he had traveled all around the world to his colleagues, his friends, trying so many different things to no avail. And that's when he turned. He was desperate. He was going broke. His wife was unhappy, right? All of these things, family falling apart, couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And so he started rereading all the textbooks we had to study in school, Guyton physiology, centered it around there. He found out how the body was working and much more.
Mm-hmm.
He dug deep and he started doing his journaling, started treating himself. And 30 years later, he writes this book, Healing is Voltage. I love it. Man.
That's awesome. Again, it just makes me think I'm not working hard enough.
Oh, Alex, you are working hard enough. You know, and how old is Kuiper now?
7.
Oh, yeah. You're working hard enough.
Oh, yeah. He keeps her. He keeps us busy. That's for sure.
You know, I wanted to throw something else out about. I've been hearing a lot about how certain companies have the perfect tool, which has within it the perfect settings or protocols.
Yes.
That in order to get those perfect protocols that are made specifically for the individual, they must buy the tool through this company or distributor.
Yep.
And I just wanted to mention that, and it's based on what you said earlier. Dr. Michael Hamlin, he is the big guy out of Harvard. He has written several textbooks, including the last one, Photobiomodulation in the Brain. He is the reason why insurance companies just recently started adding photobiomodulation codes into the Medicare system. Okay. That doesn't mean that they're going to pay for it. That means they added them in there. Experience tells me 20 years from now, they'll start recognizing that. Right?
Sure.
That's just experience. Let's dance with it first.
Yep.
And then let's take it to the prom.
Sure.
And he is quoted as saying that photobiomodulation should be on the forefront of all conditions because there are so very few side effects and reaping rewards. He says one of the problems, though, is that writing protocols, a protocol book, is very, very difficult. He even says it's very easy to point and shoot at a broken toe. If I break my toe, it becomes an area of low voltage. I had a bright light bulb down there. Now it's a dim light bulb, and I need to speed up the healing by adding more energy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the deal is that, yes, you can make a schematic of what people can contemplate. You might call it a protocol, but you have to always entertain the fact that you have to plug the individual, into that protocol and adapt it.
Yeah.
And I absolutely agree. It's what we do on a daily basis. Yeah. If you and I had a broken toe, I had a broken toe, you had a broken toe, same toe, there would be several different factors that we'd have to consider in treating you, right? Maybe not as simple as a broken toe, point and shoot, but let's say I had Parkinson's and you had Parkinson's. Is it the same on each person?
No.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
And so that brings up let's talk about that. When it comes to lasers, there's more and more on the market. And then with these lasers, whether it's Avant laser, which is the brand of laser we use, and then it has shed light protocols that you have come up with. What we're talking about for all those that are like, what are these two dudes talking about? We're talking about the difference between running a laser and just running what's called continuous light, where it's just coming out and it's just there. Then you have what's called pulsed light, where it might be flickering and pulsating at a frequency that, let's say, has the resonance of the cerebellum. For instance, with someone like if I have Parkinson's and you have Parkinson's, how I laser and how much I laser that cerebellum is going to be dependent on using things like monitoring pulse oxygenation and heart rate. It could even revolve around, let's say with that individual, like if I want to work on you, you have Parkinson's and it's been about 10 visits. I'm lasering, I'm doing some other brain rehab, we're adjusting, we're doing some diet stuff, and you've put your wall down and gained enough trust. And you tell me that when you were 30, you underwent a huge trauma in life or something along those lines. And then I know that Parkinson's starts in the gut and it usually starts 30 years before you start having any symptom. And the first symptoms is probably going to be a lack of smell. Or you might start slowing down or getting camp tachormic, looking like an old man walking around. So I might say, ooh, instead of using the cerebellum setting, you know where I'm going to go? I'm going to give you some love and I'm going to put on me. And I'm going to give that cerebellum some me and see if that helps. See if that makes a difference. Can I laser longer? Could I laser more frequent maybe? Or if none of that is necessarily a factor for me, but in my mind, it makes sense. Let's give the man some love because 30 years ago, he underwent some stuff and there's nothing good that's come of it since. Let's send some love in, and therein lies the intention.
Exactly. Yeah. We do a lot of, have you been studying any NET, neuroemotional technique?
No, we spent time with the Longyears, Michael Longyear. He'll never listen to this show, but if he does, how you doing, sir? And Michael doesn't need to listen to this show. He already knows everything we're talking about, but talk about a guy to have on. I'd love to have
another doctor on my list.
Yes.
Dr. Michael and Dr. Megan Longyear, the doctors. Yes. Longyears, I call them.
Yes, this is a shameless plug for those guys. If anyone needs help in the Jacksonville area or Florida, you go to the Longyears Brain Optimization Institute. I got to spend some time this summer with him, Lauren and I, when we were doing his neuro certification, kind of getting brushed up on stuff.
Yeah.
And he's on my list. I almost just want to go to him just to have him tune me up. That's how much I like Dr. Longyear.
Absolutely. So very good friend. Very good friend. I didn't know you were taking that certification course as well. So you actually went to the classes in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I did. Oh. We did two of them. We haven't been able to get back for the other on-site ones. So I have to watch the videos for those.
Oh yeah, but powerful.
But yeah, it was very good. And for students and doctors looking for a brush up, or they just want more knowledge in neuro, you can take the Neuro Life Institute course put on by Longyear and his colleagues that he groups up with.
Absolutely. A doctor that treats doctors, the doctor of doctors, right?
Yeah.
Doctor. Yes. I love that man. He's also from Michigan like me.
Oh, I didn't realize it's Michigan.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know what it's like to be cold Midwest doc.
Yep.
Midwest doc.
Yeah, well, I've grown up in Green Bay and Minnesota, so
I should do
that when this gets cold.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You like my flannel then. I know you like my flannel.
Yep.
So I digress, forgive me. Next, Dr. Nelson. You still out there, Nick? Raise your hand.
Nick's here. He's laughing.
You know, I want to talk about this obvious little pearl, okay?
Yep.
Well, it's obvious to us, like you said, and to the listeners, and sometimes it's less obvious, but it's a very simple point that kind of opens up somebody's mind. Because not only is it an axiom in physics, it's just well known. People have experienced this, maybe even if they haven't defined it. And that is, energy will always find the area of less energy. Energy will always find the area of less energy. Sometimes I get a very detailed person, And they must ask, you know, somebody who's using the laser at home or a doc in his clinic. And this person cannot get off the idea that they're somehow missing the boo-boo. Can I say the word boo-boo? Is that too technical?
No.
In that they diagnose an area of weakness. We talked about the prefrontal cortex. It's pretty, you know, that's a pretty big landing area, right? Yeah. And so, but they want to know that they're exactly on a space. Well, we know we could do muscle testing. We could have gadgets. We could have all those things that you talked about.
Yeah.
But in reality, as long as you're close, that energy, the body will take that energy and take it to a nearby area of weakness and raise the voltage. If you're exhausted and Lauren has a lot of energy and you walk into the house and you and Lauren hug, naturally her biophotons and electrons will transfer to you trying to reach a balance or equilibrium. True?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our long days at the clinic require us to expend some of our energy through our hands, through our intentions, to help who we're trying to help feel better. Is that true?
Yeah.
I remember it was one of the reasons why, you know, you're very much a left brain man who can access his right brain. You prove that on a daily basis. Can you use both sides of the brain? Is that healthy?
Yes.
And absolutely is healthy.
Yes.
I somewhere along the way, I broke myself. We won't talk about that. It was the 90s, right?
Yep.
You know, you're how old? We won't get into the age.
Age. You know, as chiropractors, I like to think we think the best about age. Age is all in between the ears in terms of
agreed.
I hate it when I'm 37. I hate it when my friends say, oh, I'm getting old. Yeah. You hurt because you've been using your body. Okay. And either start doing something about it or keep living that victim mindset. I don't know what to tell you.
Absolutely.
Anyway, sorry.
Yep. Oh, no. We talk about it almost on a daily basis that in a blink of an eye, but I have 54 more years on the planet. And when I'm 108, two days after my wife leaves the planet, I'm going to decide how to go. Thanks. It's all about photobiomodulation. No, it's not. It's about not eating.
Right. Yeah.
So that area has... We can be very specific. If we're working on an acupuncture point on the ear or trying to make something happen, well, we can get very specific. But as long as we're close to what we're trying to attain, that body, the body, the human body, this beautiful human body will take that energy and send it to where it needs to go for repair. Okay.
Yep. You know.
Oh, yeah. Forgive me, Alex. I was going into... When I had my clinic, I'm a right brain explosion. I don't know how many times Megan Longyear sat me down and tried to teach me how to protect my energy. I was incapable of doing it. I remember working on the shoulder, half an hour. It's around 10 o'clock in the morning. I have a lot of energy beforehand. I go home for lunch. I sit at my desk because I have to do some notes. Well, my shoulder started hurting. And I didn't even realize, I woke up on the desk. I had fallen asleep in a matter of, I don't know. You know that sleep where you fall asleep, but you can't remember falling asleep. It just hits you so hard, that kind of tiredness. Mm-hmm. I woke up an hour and a half later, late for clinic, but I was exhausted. And it was a big epiphany that I was giving away all my energy and efforts to help somebody heal. But yeah. I do think that's part of the job. That's part of the job. And part of the job also is trying to keep your energy up or recapture energy from the earth or from the sun, from the water, from the negative ions, right?
Yeah.
To maintain that voltage so we avoid the pitfalls of disease, right?
Yes.
You said it yourself.
Yep. So you kind of bring up a point that I'm starting to get a lot of questions about, because as lasers come on the market more, this is kind of like off topic, but what better time to talk about it?
Sure.
Is, for instance, people ask about laser helmets, and for particularly, let's not go into laser helmets for hair rejuvenation, but there are such a thing out there, but laser helmets for brain health. And these are devices that there's some that people can buy right off the streets, and then there's some that doctors can buy. Is it still holding up? Because when we first got our lasers a couple of years ago, it was best understood that when you're doing, let's say, brain rehab, because a lot of people are getting concerned about brain health nowadays, and that's why we're selling our lasers and everything. Is it still kind of holding true that you want to laser the area of involvement, and you want to laser the area of low voltage, or you want to laser the area that you're stimulating, as opposed to just plopping on a helmet and just getting negative anions everywhere? Or, because does that statement hold up where we're going to go from high to low energy, so it doesn't matter? Do we just plop the helmet on and do therapy, or is it best to point and shoot and work on these areas in more of a specific manner?
So, interesting question, right? There's a lot of debate on this. I must take 2 or 3 phone calls a year about somebody out there trying to create a hemispheric laser helmet, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're there, which turns on either on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, depending on what I'm trying to accomplish, right?
Yep.
But the bigger principle is, what will the body do with the energy if you just globally raise your voltage?
Yeah.
Right. If I were to take my shoes off, like I like to do, and put my feet on the earth and ground, my body is sucking up those electrons. It's non-specific. It's not going specifically to one side of my brain. It's going all over my body, and my body knows what to do with it.
Yep.
Now, I will say that I kind of see it as, if I'm dealing with pathology, well, then maybe I need to speed things along by concentrating more on the weaknesses. I don't mind the global voltage. That makes my job easier. But picture that balloon that you're talking about. Picture that bright balloon, but within that balloon, there are darker areas of low voltage. Well, might I remove that interference? Make things work faster, better, longer? Because you and I both know, over time, number one, we deal with patient compliance. Number two, we were meant to be on the planet for this long, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be natural degradation of what's happening. We're going to experience things either by choice or not by choice. There's only 2 ways to go. I choose to drink clean water, right? I choose to. But yet, when I was pumping my gas earlier today, while I was sucking in those toxins, I appreciate having an automobile. I love having gas to put into it, but I didn't choose to suck in those fumes. I mean, I tried to avoid them, this and that. But how many times have we pumped our gas and smelled that gasoline? I bet your garage, your little workroom, has a nice smell to it. It smells like home, doesn't it? Smells like my dad's garage, right?
Yep.
So great question about global voltage versus local voltage. Global versus local. I think one helps the other.
Got it.
I do think, again, back to treating disease, pathology. Well, they're in our office at a stage wherein they're asking us to help remove some barriers.
Yeah.
So their body can take over, right?
Yeah.
And as you and I both know, we have several tools. The most important tool is your brain. Your brain, Dr. Alex. Your brain. Now you know what to do with the other tools around you.
Hmm? Yep. Yeah, hence it's called practice.
Hence what?
I said, hence it's called practice. It's called practice exactly. For a reason.
Exactly.
Practice. What other clinical pearl you got for us?
Well, we do a lot of work on the neurodevelopmental plane, don't we?
Yep.
And there is that axiom that we kind of have driven into our head from several different sources, and I fell in love with it, is that we build the brain from the bottom up. We build the brain from the bottom up. It's my job and your job to determine how far down the chain we start, if you will. I remember a lady's 19-year-old son got in a car accident, and he was in a coma for 3 months. And his name was Quentin. And he finally woke up. He got him out of the hospital, but he was in there still, but he could not move a thing. He could not communicate. He could communicate with his mother through his eyes. They set up a hospital bed in the living room. I remember ramping his mom up, and his body hadn't seen any type of voltage in 3 to 4 months. And now he's in a hospital bed in a practical vegetative state, trying to communicate with his mom with just his eyes. He can move his tongue a little bit. Now, where do we start with something like that? Now, we talk a lot about kids with autism and ADHD and everything else. And what about this situation where we have a hypoxic brain injury? Right? Mm-hmm. So tingles and tears, right? Tingles and tears. So what we started, Linda, off with just lasering the toes and the fingers 3 times a day. Add some voltage in. Then we worked up to the feet and the hands, the elbows and the shoulders, the knees and the hips, right? We didn't go straight to the spine. We didn't go straight to the brain. We had to raise that global voltage first. Talking about building the brain from the bottom up. Long story short, well, we graduated to the spine. We ran up to the spine to the magic spot, the brain stem, right? Where all kids are born, the magic spot, cranial nerves, part of the cerebellum. We started doing the cerebellum. She would try to get to the midbrain, you know, using the wavelength. Mm-hmm. 637 red, get those photons deep, let them drift. And then we had to work from a hemispheric value. We had to raise the voltage in his right brain first. Right drives left, right? Mm-hmm. So 3 or 4 months into it now, I mean, it was very slow going. Now he has more action with his tongue. He's moving his head more. Mom's crying almost every time she's treating. Dedicated family. She does something to show him what to do. If I remember correctly, it was Quentin, can you stick your tongue out and can you move it right to left? Something just that simple, right? Something he could not do for months. And I got the phone call. It was like a little game. Part of it was, Linda, I want you to show him what he used to be able to do. I want him to see that. Then I want you to verbalize what you want him to do. And while you're doing that, I want you to hold the laser on the brainstem, the cranial nerves, right? And then one day, after she did that routine, he stuck his tongue out and moved it to left to right. Talking about tingles and tears right there, my brother.
Yep.
Tingles and tears.
Man. Gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's awesome. And that's just one case. That's just one person.
Absolutely.
And that's as bad as it gets. Trying to think of, there's been some really wild cases coming in, like a lot of docs nowadays. You know, one of them was, we're seeing a lot of functional neurological disorder after COVID, and it's a lot of females. So what's happening there is it used to be called convergence disorder. So they turned into functional neurological disorder. And essentially what happens is, at least with these female teens or tween age, they wake up and they can't walk. They were fine one day, can't walk the next. And it was so prominent around here in Kansas City that the local children's hospital opened up a whole wing for a specialist. And since now that specialist is gone, but we've had similar circumstances where these kids wake up, can't walk, parents bring them in because there's nothing, no one else that can offer anything. And it's the same thing, starting with lasering, and we'll run another form of adding voltage. We'll run electrical stimulation on them. And we start low and slow, and we start low, literally go down to the legs and the toes and go and work our way up and get that brain almost like a mini rebuild. Cause it's all there. There was no injury. There was no reason why anything should be going on, but the brain lost the ability to sort out what's a thought and emotion and a motor function. And if we can build back that motor function a little bit with some sensory input, that's what builds the brain. And yeah, that's exactly what we did, was go from bottom up, just like that.
Building the brain from the bottom up.
Yep. And that really speaks volumes, because a lot of times all the other therapies out there for kids, for really anything that happens, whether it's a child on the spectrum or someone who got in a really bad wreck and now they're in a coma, you can't just sit there and go, oh, we're going to stimulate the cortex. We're going to, you know, make them do some eye exercises or whatever it is. And granted, if they're in a coma, they can't do too much. But you have to go all the way under that and go from peripheral to central and work your way up.
Amen. Which is another clinical pearl, right?
Yeah.
Peripheral to central.
Yeah, let's go over that.
When dealing with neurological disorders. So let's classify some experience here, okay? In my experience in dealing with neurological orders, we build the brain from the bottom up. We want to go from the periphery to the central. But when we're dealing with a viral infection, or let's say a chronic problem at the periphery, a painful problem like, well, let's think about shingles and let's think about neuropathy. I don't know how many times I got that phone call. I haven't felt my feet in 20 years, which is fine, but now they hurt. Can you help me? Now I would bring that person in. I would do what I do, but I would never laser those feet on the first day, because I already know that they're throbbing and they're in pain because they lack blood and oxygen. And therefore, what happens when I laser that area? Well, I'm ramping up the voltage. That's true. But I'm asking the body to bring blood and oxygen down there where it can't get to. Therefore, there's a possibility of exacerbating the problems, even though we would be doing good work and a long way around the barn. I don't want anybody to walk out of my clinic thinking I was a part of their problem being exacerbated, right?
Yeah.
So what would I do? Well, I would send them home. I would have them soak their feet in very hot water with Epsom salt and baking soda. Epsom salt and baking soda would create a chemical reaction that creates electrons. It's a voltage bath. I would have them do that 3 times a day, 20 minutes. I would have them do that every other day or every day. And I would bring them in, let's say, 4 days later. Well, now the whole disposition of the problem has changed, because now those capillary beds are less, more pliable, if you will. And now I can begin by working my way centrally to peripherally, a chronic acidic area, helping it to change to a more alkaline healing arena. To do so, there must be blood flow, right? Shingles. Here's our experience with shingles and herpes. You guys want a story? You want a story? Raise your hand if you want a story.
Do it.
So this is a couple years ago. The family was flirting with buying a laser for probably 3 or 4 months. The problem was that mom, 73, 74 years old, had shingles. And she was in 10 out of 10 pain for months and months and months. It was unrelenting. And she had the pustules come up around her right face, around her right eye. And they finally bought a laser. I remember this vividly because it was a Saturday that it landed. And they were on such fire that I got on the phone with them. She was screaming in pain and none of the medications were working. This was planted. You and I both know that these viral infections, they live in the spine. And they come out to play along the dermatome when there is low voltage or a decrease in the immune system, low voltage, right? And we had to work centrally first. Now, I remember that just that Saturday and that Sunday, I had them only lasering up and down the spine, spending more time on the upper cervical. They did it twice on Saturday. When she woke up on Sunday, she went from a 10 to a 7. We repeated on Sunday 3 or 4 times, up and down the spine, up and down the spine, plop down on upper cervical, and then I had them go right to the magic spot, cranial nerves. Now, remember, these pustules were blown out on her face.
Ugh.
You know, the idea that I want to heal this lesion, that goes through everybody's mind.
Yeah.
But I had a previous experience with another doc that went directly for the lesion, and the lesion spread. Okay. So Sunday, 3 times a day, we added in the magic spot, the cranial nerves. Monday, she woke up. She was a 4 out of 10. Now, we repeated what we talked about. And then we added in the trigeminal ganglia, the train station, if you will.
Right? Yeah.
For nerves. And now she woke up on a Tuesday and she was a 1 out of 10. Already the pustules around her eye were drying up and healing. Now, it took about 5-6 days and she was down from down to a zero. And those pustules were practically healed by day 7. Now, intense pain.
Yeah.
But what did we learn? We had a comparison. Lasering the lesion, right?
Yeah.
Or working centrally, sending that virus back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Let's say we can close on something here because I got to stick around. Nick's got to make me record something and then I got to get back. We got a patient in from out of town and he's a 34-year-old man with CP, chronic hits to the head. He's on his 4th concussion. Very low functioning guy, but he's a hoot. And we're seeing him 3 times a day for 3 days just to see what he can handle. And we're trying to get his pain tolerance up because he's in massive amounts of pain because his brain has been just jumbled around and mushed for basically his entire life. Because on top of that, he's been physically abused. But for the first time in 2 years, he had this is my right hand, but his left hand would sit up here nice and curled up in posturing position. First time in 2 years, his hand's just been straight as can be.
And, really?
Yeah. And he likes to come in and he's from Arkansas. He likes to come in and he goes, Dr. Alex, let me show you my arm. See it go straight. Let me show you. You want to know how I know? I'm going to show you how I know. And he'll say, Mama, let me show him. I'm going to show him. Tell him, Mama. Tell him how that arm is straightening out. And it's so I got to get back to Tyler. He's a hoot.
Well, thank you for having me, my friend.
Yeah,
Nick. Nice talking to you again. Or nice knowing you're in the background, Nick.
It was a pleasure having you on, sir.
Mine, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for taking care of us, and we'll catch up more. And if you got more news that you want to spread with Shed and Light, you just let us know.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, everyone. The Dr. Alex Show is brought to you by Apex Energetics, apexenergetics.com. First of all, to learn more about Apex Energetics, head on over to that website. If you want to get Apex Energetics directly, please call them 1-800-736-4381, or you can shop our online store. You can get to our online store at myhcpstore.com. Username is Dr. Alex. Otherwise, if you'd like to find a doctor that uses Apex Energetics, you can give them a call or go to the website and they'll direct you to a doc in your area that should be doing very good work with Apex Energetics. Apex has just been instrumental in our lives professionally and personally. About 6 years ago, we went through one of the most hellacious traumas that you can think of. And if it weren't for Apex with their stress support line of products, I probably would not be here. Point blank, period. And in the office, making the switch from other lines to Apex Energetics has sped up our results with our patients, supporting them through their healthcare needs, probably by 25%, if not more. And when it comes to Apex Energetics, we just want to remind everyone that we are here to not cure diseases, making claims. We're here supporting people, increasing their healthcare needs, and helping them achieve their goals. ApexEnergetics.com. The Dr. Alex Show is hosted by myself, a nerd, Dr. Alex Nelson. I'm a chiropractor, board certified in functional neurology and childhood neurodevelopmental disorders. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your other favorite podcast apps. The Dr. Alex Show is a production of Fredcasts. Think, speak, act.